pray for them this morning. But this morning, you can see I've wrote up here, and we're doing this series called Coming Out of Darkness. We're just studying through the book of 1 John. The Bible, particularly the New Testament, is mostly just a bunch of letters written by the early church. Four of the letters were letters about Jesus and his ministry. But all the other letters, one of the letters is about the history of the early church. The first 40 to 100 years of the church, really a focus on the first 4 years. That's the book of Acts. But all of the other books in the New Testament are letters that early church leaders, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote to people. So we're studying this book called 1 John. John was one of the apostles of Jesus, and he is reaching out to people. It's circulated to people all over the place in an area called Ephesus. And one thing John is trying to do, he is trying to rescue people out of darkness. Out of the pit of darkness is kind of the sermon title today. We want to be coming out of the pit of darkness. And family, I feel like in our culture, in our world, there are a lot of people that are just in they're in darkness. They're experiencing be it confusion, be it despair, be it just like a hopelessness, not really knowing where to turn next. John is bringing them this message, and he's bringing us this message today, pointing us toward a God of light. So I actually just want to read this first chapter. I know we kind of dealt with the first four verses last week. I just want to go ahead and read those again. Do we have those up on the screen, Justin? There we go. So that, and you can stand if you would like to revere the Word of God with us and just kind of stand. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. That life was made manifest. It's talking about Jesus. We have seen it. We were with him. And we testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. And then verse 5, this is really where we're going to be looking at today. Just want to get us in context here. This is the message we have heard from him, Jesus. We proclaim it to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. We believe this is your word. We believe that you have spoken. We believe today, to use John's language, we believe you have a message for us. God, you've sent us a text message. We have this text, and we want to understand it. So open our minds, Lord. Be that light, that illuminating presence that would give us clarity. Help us to see what's true. Help us to understand. Also help us to be removed from despair. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to try a little drawing today. I'm going to try to draw a little lady down here. I don't know. I know it may be kind of hard to see. So we want to talk this morning about the pit of despair. When we think about the pit of despair or darkness, actually, we think about We think about times that have been hopeless in our life, times that we haven't really understood what to do, what's going on, what's happening, what's true. There's been times in our life where we just were not sure what was going to happen tomorrow. There's been times in our life, and you may be going through a time right now that just feels dark and hopeless. And so I want to use this language today a little bit about the pit of darkness, the place where there is massive confusion, where we don't know where to go. We feel like we're stuck. We feel like we are sinking in. And I draw this picture a lot because I sit down with people and I talk to people and I tell them, you're in a pit. You know, you feel stuck. You're depressed. You have anxiety. You have addiction. You have issues. And you just feel like you're in this pit. And the question is, how are you going to get out? And so today I wanted to draw this picture and ask you that question. There's times when we all fall into a fog. We fall into this pit of darkness. And so there's this question, how do we get out? And there's people, we meet people that are in this pit. They're stuck. They're in a dark place. They're in a hopeless place. They're in a place where they don't understand. They're in a confusing place. They don't know what to do. How do we, as people who have the light of God, help them get out of this pit? So we want to come out of the pit of darkness. So the first thing that I want to say, number one, and this correlates with your blank, find the one that goes in your blank, the one with the brightest light. And the truth is, I choose that word very carefully because there is only one that has light and no darkness at all. There is only one who has the brightest light. And we need to find how we can connect with him. So light is a metaphor for a few things, and I just wanted to throw a few things to you about this idea of light. The Bible talks about light. What does that mean? Number one, it means joy. In the first four verses, I love the four verses. They have these four words that three words we'll talk about in Greek. Say them with me. The first one is Zoe. Can you say Zoe? Say Zoe. Zoe. That's the Greek. See, these letters, John and Matthew, they were written in a language called Koine Greek. So they have, it's not English. So the Greek word Zoe is this word that's in contrast with a word we use a lot called bios, which is like physical life. We get the word biology from that word. But God and John, they always use this Greek word called Zoe, which speaks of this spiritual life. And in the first four verses also is a neat word. In English, it's fellowship. But in Greek, it's this beautiful word called koinonia. Can you say koinonia with me? It's a little bit of Greek class this morning. Like, I didn't want to wake us too early for Greek, Austin. What are you talking about? Koinonia is this beautiful word that's used throughout the Bible. It's for fellow, you know, we translate it often fellowship. But it's basically, it's this meaning of when you have all things in common, but you start out and you really don't. It's basically when you become family with people that you're not family with through the commonness of knowing Jesus. And then the word in chapter 4 is joy. John says, I write these books. I've been writing books to help people with joy. And the Greek word is kara, I think. I'm just working off the cuff here a little bit. So if you Google it and make me look like an idiot, that's okay. I think it's kara. I like that name, kara, that comes from the Greek word joy. And joy is an idea of something more than just happiness, something that is deeply, emotionally, completely satisfying, not just happiness. Joy comes with this component that is eternal. It can't be taken away. Even on your worst days, even when you feel like you are in a pit, there is an experience of emotional satisfaction, even though everything around you may have came crashing and burning crashing down and burning. So light is a metaphor for joy. Light is also a metaphor for understanding, clarity, or truth, I think is what I have up there, truth. So a couple of verses, Jesus, he claims to be the light of the world, especially in John likes to use this analogy of light. He also wrote one of the biographies of Jesus. We call them the Gospels. He wrote, of course, the Gospel of John. And this is something he wrote about Jesus saying in John chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus is talking about himself. He says, the light, he's talking to his disciples and his ministry, well before John wrote these books. John remembers when Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer, and while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. So Jesus is actually talking to his disciples, and he's saying, you know what? Here's the metaphor. It's like daylight right now, but soon enough, I'll be gone, and it'll be dark. So you really need to absorb a lot from me as you walk with me. And they began to, their minds were opened to the truth of who God is, the truth of who Jesus was. Jesus was the light that was coming to bring joy and understanding and truth. And also, I put up here hope, right? Hope. So I've been working on my car. I'm going to come back to this. It's been a little thing in my life. I kind of like working on my car until I have to do it for hours, right? And anyway, at the end of the day, because I don't have like a garage exactly where I can bring my car in and have like light, so it's outside, so I need the daylight so I can see everything, so I can figure out where things are. And I got to the end of the day, end of daylight anyway, and I needed to put this one last thing on my car, and it possibly could have been fixed if I got it on there, right? So I looked everywhere for this little part, and I'm looking everywhere, but it's dark. And so I couldn't find it until I found light, right? A flashlight. I had no hope of finding it. There was no future where I possessed this part unless I could find some light. So ultimately, I found a flashlight, and I found the thing. But the truth is, what God is, when he is light, the idea is that he is bringing a secure future to us. And that's what the word hope means. Also, light is a metaphor for beauty and purity. Our God is beautiful. He is he's a great thing to understand, to take in. Just like today, this gloominess. I'm like one of our sisters was talking this morning. Lena was saying, "Hey, I like some stormy weather." Well, I like it too, especially after like I felt like I've been in an oven for a couple of weeks, right? So a little bit of rainy weather isn't so bad. But eventually, I get pretty tired of that, and I want the sun to come out, and it brings a lot of beauty. I just wanted to point out to plants. I don't know if you've realized this before, but plants most often need light to flourish, right? They need light to be vibrant. You have to get them in the light for them to live, for them to thrive. And humanity is the same way, except we need the light of God in our life to thrive and to flourish, to truly have joy, to truly have clarity, truth, to truly have hope, to truly experience beauty and purity. We need light. So here's the verse from John 1:5. This is an incredible verse that I just want to take a little while longer to meditate on what it means when we say God is light. So this is what John says. I've got this message. I'm writing to people. I want to get them out of the pit. The first thing they need to do is find the one with the brightest light. So this is what he says, verse 5. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So this is a time where we read the scripture, we read something like this, and this is something that is so good, you may even want to memorize this. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We want to meditate on things like this. So Jesus says in John chapter 9, the people who walked in darkness, this is in Isaiah chapter 9, this is an Old Testament prophecy 500 years before Jesus. This is what he says: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And I pray today that if there's anyone that would describe their life, they would find themselves in this pit and they say, hey, I know darkness all too well. I hope today that we would shine a little light on that, that we could see the light shining in the dark place. And Jesus said this in John chapter 9. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then an incredible thing is Jesus goes on in these verses in 9 and chapter 6 also, I think, and he says, the people that follow me, you guys, you are the light of the world. So a lot of people are gonna see get out of the pit, first of all, by seeing where the true one source of light is, because they see you. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, but he also says, you are the light of the world. He says, you are like a city on a hill that shines brightly. So God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. I think I have a slide for this. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And so I just wrote up here, he's the universal source of life. He's the universal source of life. So a lot of times when it's someone's birthday, I was praying earlier as we set up, I thank God for, when it's someone's birthday, I thank God for creating them, right? Not a huge jump, but a lot of times the birthday is like, hey, let's whatever. But what if when we think about someone's birthday, we're like, man, I'm glad God created Justin Lacey. But not only just did he create Justin Lacey, but he has given Justin Lacey a life. Aren't you glad Justin has a life tonight, this morning, whatever it is? But there's a spiritual life in Justin. The Bible talks about that we have a new life, and we emphasize that a lot as a church. It's one of our core values, new life, that God is a God that gives us a new life. So there's this universal source of life. God is this giver of something more than just breathing and walking, but he gives our soul new life. God is light. There's no darkness in him. He is this universal source of understanding. There was this great skeptic, and I don't know about you, but there's been a time in my life where I was very skeptical about the things of God. I'm not really even sure God was real or that his son was real. And so I walked through a lot of reading, a lot of studying, where a lot of my mind had to embrace some things to be true about God. And in that, and in some of those things, basically reading the scripture, I had an experience somewhat like one of my favorite authors named C.S. Lewis. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. But listen to this quote. He said, you know, because he was very skeptical, and as he tried to disprove God, he became a Christian. He's one of those kind of guys, you know. And he says this in one of his books. He says, we believe in the sun, but not because we can see it, but because by it we can see everything else. Think about that. Like today, you literally can't see the sun, can you? But you know it's still there because its light is illuminating everything else. Now, there's a truth about God. We can't see God. The Bible even tells us, hey, yeah, he's invisible. But we can see and understand everything else because God has opened our eyes to see it. He illuminates everything else. He makes it so that we can see it. He gives us knowledge. So when I work on my car, it is very much like the blind trying to fix their car. So what I actually need, there's about 7 people usually at AutoZone, and only 1 or 2 are really good enough to help me, because I walk in there and I'm holding something, and it's not even the right part that I'm looking for, but I'm like, hey guys, I just took this off my car. Do you know what it is? Can you get me a new one? And then I try to put it on and I can't. And I go back and I'm like, I can't put this on my car. Is there a tool or something you can give me to help me do this? And so then they give me the tool. It's the wrong tool. Then I come back. And so it is. I need illumination. I need to understand what in the world is going on. What do you call this thing? It's metal. I took a bolt out. Now I can't get it back on. Help me out, AutoZone. Right? But it's the same thing with God. We need illumination about life. We need to understand truth. Psalm 110, 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And the other thing I wrote up here about God being light, and I think this is really the main thing, is this last thing. He is light and there's no darkness in him at all. God is unlike anything else. A lot of times the thing that really kind of stresses people out, people get kind of disenchanted with Christianity, because they make a God out of the God of the Bible. They make a God that's like them. And he is not like you. God made you in his image. You are beautiful. You're a beautiful creation. But guess what? There are ways, there are things about God that you read in the Bible and you're like, wow, that's different. That's different than me. And the truth is, we really need to understand that God is not like this. In fact, in 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 16, Timothy claims that God exists in unapproachable light. Like, he is so bright, you can't look at it. Like the sun, some of us found out the wrong way, you shouldn't stare at the sun. God has this light about him. He's totally different than us. I mean, he blows up supernovas whenever he wants to. That's like a big star, I think. I don't really even know. But I mean, God is different than us. He taps into things that we don't get. So sometimes I hear people say stuff like, you know, God will forgive me because he knows what it's like to like slip up and do drugs, you know? And the thing is, God does care about your situation. He cares about what's going on. But God does not, or we say like, God will forgive me because I lied. You know, I've been telling this lie for 10 years. God will forgive me because he knows what it's like. The truth is, no, he doesn't. He doesn't know what it's like to slip up and lie. He doesn't know what it's like to slip up and make a mistake. He doesn't know about that. He's never made a mistake. That's one thing in view in this verse. He is light and there's no darkness in him at all. And so when we really understand that God is this unapproachable light with no darkness at all, we really begin to see his true beauty. We get to see that he's not just the man upstairs that's like me, but that he's above the stairs, right? I mean, he is higher than the stairs. He's way up there. But he does care. He has came and made himself available, and this is the message. And how do we get out of this pit? Well, we find the one who is the brightest light. Well, how? How do we find him? And it's very simple. I may be making it too complicated. Through this message. Through the message, through this good news, this gospel message, we connect with the God of light. So that's the main thing. We find the one that is light, and it is God. And then this is why they killed Jesus. He went around praying. He went around saying stuff like, "I am the one with pure light. I am the light of the world. I am the unapproachable light." So Jesus makes the claim that he is the God of light, and in him there's no darkness at all. So we connect with that God that became man, that gave his life on the cross, so that our sins would be paid for, so that the darkness that is in us, see, we make a God with darkness in it because we want God to be like us because we have darkness in us. But the truth is, God is a God of light. But the good news of God is that light of light, God of God, became flesh and died on the cross for you to pay the penalty for your sins so that you could be forgiven. So God doesn't just forgive us because he understands what we go through. He does understand, he does care, but God forgives you because his brightness became flesh, dwelt among us, and died on the cross to pay for our sins. So find the one. How do we get out of this pit of darkness? We find the one with the brightest light. And then number two, we watch out for the draw of darkness. So a really neat thing happened to us on Labor Day. We were cooking a lot of meat and hanging out, and we were cut grass. And then all of a sudden, these four turtles, never seen a turtle on my property in all my life, which is like a year, never seen a turtle. And then these four turtles come into our life, and we love these turtles. We've had them all week. My son painted one shell completely like radiant pink. So we now cannot let him go back out into the wild, or he is like a immediate like neon target for a hawk. So we're going to keep these turtles forever. They're snapping turtles though, so we're probably going to pay for it eventually. But we have these turtles, and we are going to give a good life to these turtles. I actually spent several minutes, close to an hour, standing by their box and just slapping flies, trying to kill flies so these turtles could eat. I mean, they're going to have it good. I mean, whenever I'm eating an apple, I eat half of it, and I throw the other half in with the turtles. I take the lettuce off of my cheeseburgers, put it in the turtle box. But you know what about these stinking turtles? They still are trying to get out of this box and get away, all right? Like, if I gave them a chance, they'd be gone. Luckily for them, they're slow. They don't know how good they've got it. They try to get away. They're prone to wander away from the guy who's going to give them the lettuce off of his cheeseburger. And family, here's something I'm saying about number two. Watch out for the draw of darkness. One of my favorite hymn writers, Robert Robertson, he said it like this. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. So this is the hymn. What is it? Come thou fount of many blessings. He says, let thy goodness, praying to God, let your goodness like a fetter, like chains kind of, bind my wandering heart to you, to thee. And he says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it. Seal it in thy courts above. We have hearts that are prone to wander away from the light of God. You know how you'll have a bug zapper in your yard and you sit there and just watch the bugs hit it? That'd be a good idea to put that above my turtle, wouldn't it? Bugs are drawn to the light. It seems like man is drawn to the darkness. Have you noticed that? One of my favorite, show that picture of the woods, Justin. One of my favorite, fictitious stories is Hansel and Gretel. You know that story? Like, they wander into the woods and, they end up eating a candy house and, a witch tries to cook them and they escape and stuff like that. But do you ever wonder, that was some scary woods that they wandered into. What business did these two little kids have going off into the woods? And so I got this picture of the creepy woods. And the thing is, family, and this is I guess movie, and it's going to be horror movie season soon, and there's going to be all these stories about creepy woods and all these silly kids and teenagers and people wander into the darkness. But family, so often we find ourselves just being pulled into this pit, pulled into darkness. Listen to what he says in verse 6. Put it up, brother. Verse 6, it says, if we have fellowship with him. This is this beautiful word, koinonia. We have this bond with God, this familial, this family-like relationship with him. It says, if we say, and we can have that, but listen to what he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Now John here, he is serving his people and he's serving you with some hard words, right? Like back in the playground days, you call me or my daddy a liar, that's fighting words, right? And John says, watch out, you may be a liar when You say you have fellowship with God, but you don't really practice the truth. And family, I think there are a lot of people walking in darkness, falling into the pit of darkness, because they don't have joy, they don't have understanding, they don't have hope, they don't have the beauty, they don't see the beauty and the purity of our God. They don't see that He is light of light and there's no darkness in Him at all. But instead, they've traded the truth for a lie. They've traded the truth for a lie. So I wrote three things down here. They think they have fellowship with God, but the truth is they just have religion. Right? Because the Bible doesn't, John doesn't break out into a thing here, hey, I need you to start forming some religions. I want you to make all kinds of different religions, some that are more mystical, some that are more truth-filled, some I want you to make all these different religions to try to get to me. But he says, I want fellowship with you. I want a relational bond with you. Sometimes I feel like people believe they have fellowship with him, but the truth is, like we were talking about earlier, they've just made up an imaginary God of their own making. So there's this saying, like, we of course know the Bible teaches that humanity, we're made in this intrinsic beauty. We're made in the image of God. But sometimes we flip that and we make for ourselves a God of our own image. Right? Like, I used to really like to make play with potato heads, you know, and I collected a lot of the accessories, and I would try to make like a weird potato head, you know, like I would put like a ear where his nose goes, and like eyes on the top of his head where his hat goes. I'd make up my own potato head, and sometimes I think a lot of people, they think they have fellowship with God, but all they really kind of have is like an imaginary God, like I used to have an imaginary friend that helped me make these potatoes with, right? They think they know the real God, but the truth is they're not following the real God of the Bible. And then there's another level of people that find themselves in darkness, and this happens in several ways. They forget God so much that they become their own God. Now the truth is, you know how you'll meet some people and they're like a stone hard, hardcore, like atheist. There can't be a God. You're stupid if you believe in God. Like Jesus is, it's all garbage. Like they say stuff like that. Why do they do that? Because they deeply, within themselves, they need to justify the fact that they want to be their own God. They live to glorify themselves. They live to lift themselves up high. They live for their own happiness. They live to please themselves. They live for their own comfort. And the truth is, family, so many of us live that way. But when we're in fellowship with God, we'll experience the truth. And this is really closely tied to number three. So let me keep moving. How do we move out of the pit of darkness? Well, we find the one with the brightest light. We watch out for the draw of darkness. And we practice some habits of light. The habits of light. So I have a picture of plant. Will you put the picture of a plant up here? And we said what does plants need to have? You guys can help me out here. What do plants need to have to survive? I know they need water. Don't say water. I know they need good dirt. I know. But what do they really, really need? There's this big word I learned in high school. I don't remember exactly what it means, but photosynthesis. What do plants really need to thrive? They need light. They need light. And this is a picture of one that had light, and the other one was a picture of where there wasn't light and there's death. And what do you want your life to be more like? This plant or this plant? Good timing, Justin. It's good. Yeah. Of course, we want this vibrant life. So what are some habits that we can begin to walk in? Look at what it says in verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, what's that mean? We'll come to it. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. So I wrote in my notes here, get some light on you, and I don't know if I have a slide for this or not, Justin, but we walk in the steps of Jesus. We walk in His steps. Jesus came here as a human mostly to die for our sin. to make it so that we could be forgiven of our sin if we trust him as Savior. And some of you need to do that today, maybe. Some of you need to say today, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. I need to be rescued. I'm in this pit of darkness. I don't understand anything around me. I don't understand spiritual things. I am in a dark place, and I want you to rescue me out of there by the good news that you came to save me, to rescue me from my sin. But also, so Jesus came to pay for our sins, but he also came to show us how to really live, how to live a life of love, how to live a life that glorifies God. So we walk in his steps. It's a good habit. Think about that this week. I wrote here to stay on the path. It says if we walk in the light as he is in the light. So we get in the path with the light. We don't let the world choke out our life. A really sad thing in depression that I see a lot is depression keeps people buried inside their home, buried even inside their room in their home, in their bed, in their room, in their home, in their neighborhood. They stayed buried in there. And one thing that I found really just helps people that are depressed, if they will just get out into sunlight. Science actually even shows that sun gives us several minerals, builds certain things into our skin that actually makes us literally happier if we get outside more and get into the light. And so this thing says stay in the light. But like Justin was saying earlier, we're not just talking about positivity, right? Because you'll walk a day with me and you'll see I'm not the guy walking around talking about Skittles and rainbows and sunshine and like skipping and dancing. That's okay if that's you. I'm glad you do that, but that's not me. But what I'm talking about here, getting in the light, is getting into the truth of God's word. Letting God speak to you. Letting God fill your life with the joy that only he can provide. So also very great in this verse, it says, have fellowship with one another. So verse 6 kind of speaks about a fellowship that we need to have with God. He talks about this earlier, but he also very clearly throughout John, he keeps kind of circling around to this idea of find fellowship, walk with some people, get some fellowship on you, have fellowship with one another. Get in the path of light with the people of light. The truth is, one great way to get out of this pit is to begin to walk with people who don't always fall in this pit, because they are connected to the one who has the brightest light, and because they know the draw of the pit. And if you begin to walk with those people, get in fellowship with those people, you'll find that you won't fall in the pit as much. Another habit is to receive power. So he talks about the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all sin. Jesus came down here, and it's not anything weird. It's not like we have to find invisible blood or drink some kind of magical blood somewhere or something weird like that. But what it's talking about here is that Jesus came and he gave his life as a sacrifice. He bled his blood on the cross to pay for your sin. And this gives us power in our life. It gives us freedom. It gives us a new perspective on life. It gives us the power of God comes to us. The power of God comes to us through the blood of Jesus. It's transforming power. It's power that transforms us. It makes us into a new creature, the Bible teaches us. How do we get out of the pit? We find the one with the brightest light. We watch out for the draw of darkness. We practice some habits of light. And then finally, don't be a deceiver. I talk to a lot of people in the Baltimore area. I've worked with addicts, I've worked with people struggling with substances, I've worked with people that just have bad days. I've worked with myself. And what I've found is there's some people, and sometimes I'm that person, I've got myself so deep in a mess. You know, I can't, not only can I not tell the truth to some people, and I know people that literally they can't seem to tell a true thing. They can't say a true thing that actually makes sense in the real world, because in the mess of all of this darkness, of the pain of the world, they've kind of lost themselves to the point where they don't even know what's what's true. And family, one thing that we want to do as the Gates Church is we want to really champion fellowship in a way, gathering in a way where we don't want the fake you when you come to church. Right? I meet people sometimes, hey, church in the movie. Oh, church, I'm not good enough for church yet. And it's like, none of us are. And ultimately, I want you to come to church now because I want the real you. I don't want you to find a way to hide the real you. Jesus doesn't want the fake you either. He wants the real you. So authenticity is huge, and we're really going to find the real power of God when we come to God and we really say, this is who I really am. This is what I'm really struggling with. This is what's really going on. So that this text, we're going to read it, and it says that a lot of times we'll deceive ourselves about our sin, about our darkness. It teaches us not to hide our sins. It teaches us to deal with our sins now before it's too late. Look at what verse 8 says. It says, so if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, this is a great verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of you, all you need today is you need to hang on to this verse. And you need to realize today, if you'll come clean to God with who you are, stop deceiving yourself, stop trying to deceive others, stop trying to deceive God, because you can't. If you'll come to him and just confess your sin, say, hey, God, I'm imperfect. I am not always doing the thing that glorifies you. I'm not always living in light, walking in light. In fact, I'm in a pit, and today I confess to you, you're God, I'm not, I need you. You sent your son Jesus, he died on the cross, and I need my sins forgiven, and I need to be cleansed by your power. Today, this is for you. If we say we have not sinned, we make him, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Because the Bible is a story about the reality that we are in darkness, and we have darkness in us. Why would Jesus need to come if you're not a sinner, if I'm not a sinner? He had to come because we all are sinners. The Bible says that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. So at just the right time, Christ died for our sins. And he died for our sins to get us out of this pit. And I'm not talking about every day. I'm not talking about every day your life is roses and sunshine and you never have problems. But what I'm talking about is there's a spiritual darkness that people walk in. And it is like quicksand trying to suck you into the darkness. But the cross, at the right time, Jesus died on the cross and he made a way. He made a rope, if you will. He made a rope that he ties around us and pulls us out of this pit. And he pulls us out of this pit when we find him to be the true light. When we watch it, when we begin to be vigilant to see that this pit's always trying to pull us down. When we begin to practice some of the habits of light, we get with some brothers, we begin to walk the path, we begin to read the Bible, we begin to have a prayer life, and we don't deceive ourselves thinking that we're not sinners. So where I'm from is a little more rural than this, and there's wells. Deep wells dug deep in the ground to suck the water out of the ground so that people can have water. And throughout my life growing up, there were always kids. And there were stories of kids that fell in the well. They fell down in this deep, dark pit. And there's, of course, really tragic.